Welcome to the Gilbert House Fellowship, a virtual gathering of believers seeking to better understand the Word of God, with your hosts, Derek and Sharon Gilbert, and Sam T. Doxson. From the beautiful Missouri Ozarks, greetings and greetings.
Greetings? Hello, honey, how you doing?
I guess I'll leave that in there. Welcome to the Gilbert House Fellowship.
By the way, he was about to redo that. I think it's precious. I think it's precious.
That's leave it in there.
Welcome
to the Gilbert House Fellowship for Sunday, December 4th. It's the Old Testament study, and I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. I'm Sharon Gilbert. We're really glad that you've chosen to join us this morning. We laugh a lot, and you know, this is despite the fact that to be honest, I'm grieving right now, and Derek's he's grieving with me. I've lost my sister. She passed away a few days ago, and we'll be heading out to Indiana for the funeral. But honestly, our family is well known for laughing a lot, and already mm-hmm. we're finding memories of her that we're already starting to, you know, find the joy because she's with the Lord now.
Right, right. So we've already imagined her that she had a real love for
chandeliers.
I was going to say decorating, but
no,
you cut right to the chase.
Chandeliers.
Yeah, she redecorated your mom and dad's old home after your mom passed away. Yeah, and she put chandeliers, but because the home had your dad had put drop ceilings in the house mm-hmm. after he took it, remodeled it. I'm barely 6 foot, if I'm that. You know, maybe 5'11 and a half, but the chandelier was clipping me on the forehead every time I walked in.
I know.
God love her, though. She loved the bling.
She did.
But she
really
was such
did. It worked for her, though.
A gentle soul.
Oh, yeah. And, very much so. So we're looking forward to celebrating her life and, you know, just sharing that with each other. But
and right
despite
now,
that.
She's
Sharon
redoing the mansion.
In fact, she's redoing mine. You know, Sharon's going to be up here soon. So let's just go ahead and get her some chandeliers. We know she loves them. Derek
right,
likes them
right.
to hang nice and low.
That's right. That's right. I get the Cubs hat with the steel plate inserts.
We'll put
like
it in
the
order
special
for that.
Shoes I had to wear working out the steel warehouse.
Oh yeah. Oh. But you know, that's the joy of knowing the Lord and knowing that when you have a loved one who's gone on before you, who's graduated before you do.
That's right.
That loved one is would not trade places with us for anything.
No, that's true. We in fact relatively early in our marriage, we attended an independent Baptist church for a while. And
great place.
Yeah. And one of the evangelists who was regular there, and in fact, he and the pastor there inspired one of the characters in my novel, The God Conspiracy, which, by the way, if you're not aware, I'm spinning it out via YouTube as a free audiobook.
Which is a deal.
Yeah. And every
and
Monday.
It's a great book.
Well, thank you, sweetheart. It was much better after you did the editing on it and said, you know, this really isn't plausible. You need to rewrite this. Because the professional editor was more concerned about, well, you used a four-letter word here. Well, yeah, D-A-M, you know.
Yeah, but people do that.
In that circumstance,
real people do that.
But anyway. Yeah, so anyway, I've got a YouTube channel set up. It's youtube.com/Derek Gilbert. And I think it's on episode 12 now. I set them up in advance to just release them automatically. Jake Rahutsky, who we're working with at Skywatch TV, put all of these to a video backdrop. So you can watch it. I mean, it's, you know, just,
you don't need to, though.
You can just listen to the audio, but they're being released in order every Monday morning, a new episode released at 9 a.m. Central Time, which is UTC-6. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you'll get an email every time it every time it's released. And like I said, there are, it's up to, I think, episode 12 now, but there are like 27, I think. So it's got a ways to go. So you have time to catch up on the story, but and I completely lost where I was going before that.
I don't know. We were just talking about being joyful and this and that. And
when we go back and listen to this again, I'm like, oh, that's what I meant to say.
That's okay, honey.
Yeah.
You're so cute. It doesn't matter.
Making me blush. Looking forward to getting together with family, even though it's not, we would prefer to have been gathering together for another reason. But, it is a lot easier to deal with the loss of somebody when you have that, and this is why they call it blessed assurance,
mm-hmm. yes.
Knowing that it's going to be just a short time until we are reunited with them. And now I remember where I was going with this. The evangelist at the church that we attended, who, again, inspired one of the characters in the book.
Brother Sharp.
Brother Sharp and Brother...
Bragg,
right. Brother Sharp is the one I'm thinking of, though, right? Who had a near-death experience.
Yes.
And he fought and tooth and nail. And I forget what it led, what if it was a heart incident or something. But anyway, he was fighting tooth and nail, didn't want to leave his body, And suddenly, there he was in what he perceived to be and believed to be heaven. And suddenly, he didn't want to go back. And was told by the Lord that, no, you need to go. You've got more to do yet. And then he was fighting tooth and nail. Like, no, I don't. He didn't want to go back. But he did. And he was a very active evangelist. He spoke all over the country. In fact, it was he was the first one I ever heard in the pulpit preaching on Genesis chapter 6 and the Nephilim.
Yeah. I remember the shocked look on your face.
Yes, that was eye-opening to me. That was what got me started on this whole thing. And it was like, I think that week I went to the local county library branch there in St. Louis, and that's when I found L.A. Marzulli, then known as Lynn Marzulli, and his novel Nephilim. Because they didn't have any nonfiction books on the Nephilim, so I had to get one by him. And then there was a young adult book by Frank Peretti that dealt with the subject, and so I checked that one out, too. And that's what started me on this whole thing.
There hasn't been much, and honestly, there still isn't much.
No.
Considering it's a core doctrine, there still isn't much.
Right. Well, that's why I'm looking forward to getting my book finished, because I'm going to add just a small piece to the puzzle there. Not that I discovered this, but there's a scholar out there who 16 years ago wrote a paper in which he drew a link between Greek mythology and the Rephaim and certain other people groups in the ancient Near East. And again, it ties the Bible to Greek mythology and this whole thing. It all fits together.
Yeah.
History supports the Bible.
Yeah. Mythology is just another way of saying stories that have been passed down.
Right.
Doesn't mean untrue. Doesn't mean fiction.
Right. So anyway, that was a long way around to get to that point. So forgive us. Forgive me. For
imagine us taking a while.
Blathering. If we had a physical house church, we would never get past the coffee and donuts.
No. But as long as it's good coffee and good donuts, just sitting around talking, we'd have a great time.
Amen to that.
Well, we should probably dig right in because lots of stuff.
Yes. The book of Ecclesiastes today. We'll start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, which grants us this assurance that our future is secure in you. And Lord, we are grateful that Brenda is no longer in pain and that she is with our fathers and Sharon's mother. And in the great reunion they must be having up there, along with all of the prophets and disciples and apostles who've gone on before, the great champions of the faith. And we just love the way Dr. Michael Lake put it, you know, the apostles who longed to be living in this day, leaning now over the railings of heaven and cheering us on and praying for our strength. And we don't know if the Bible, you know, from the Bible, that that's actually something that they do, but Lord, it is certainly a wonderful picture. And we know, Lord, that what awaits us is far beyond what we can comprehend. And we long for that day to be reunited with you and brought back into the family. We pray as we study your word today that you would grant us wisdom and understanding, that we would take these words to heart and understand them in the way you would have them understood. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. By the way, we will be celebrating communion later on, so you can either hit pause now and go get the elements or wait till later.
Yes. Okay, the book of Ecclesiastes.
You know, the Hebrew name is not Ecclesiastes. That's Greek. Hebrew name is Koheleth. Koheleth. Q-O-H-E-L-E-T-H.
Yeah. And
it means the same assembler or collector.
Right. Which is from, well, chapter 1, verse 1, which in the English Standard Version says the words of the preacher, which could mean the collector or the convener. And again, Hebrew word is Koheleth. There is a tradition, by the way, that the last chapter in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 31, which, by the way, is a picture of Sharon right next to it when you look it up.
Aw, that's so nice of you to say.
Proverbs 31 through Ecclesiastes 2 are supposed to be the collections of a king in Jerusalem named Lemuel, which is the only mention of Lemuel in the entire Bible. Now, Ecclesiastes 1, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, would indicate that it's got to be Solomon, because he was the only son of David who reigned as king in Jerusalem.
I think that's the tradition.
That's the tradition.
At the very least, that he collected these sayings, but these probably were actually written by him.
Yeah. Okay, Ecclesiastes 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind, and on its circuits the wind returns. Interestingly, that almost hints at a global instead of a flat earth.
Yes, it does.
I shouldn't even go there. Forgive me for that. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not
full. I believe in a globe.
Well,
just
I do.
So you know.
I do too. Just I don't want to make a fight out of it.
No, it's not. Yeah. It's not.
Yeah. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, there they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. That's where that verse comes from, that saying. Is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is new? It has been already in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to be among those who come after.
By the way, the former things is alternately translated as former people.
Hmm. And he's right. It's like Santayana said and has been paraphrased, those who are ignorant of history are condemned to repeat it. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. It's kind of dark.
Well, there's a lot of this of Ecclesiastes that is very dark, especially the first half of it. This exploration of trying to find something new, trying to find some reason for living outside of Christ.
Right, exactly.
Because eventually he realizes it. I mean, this is a wonderful, wonderful book.
Mm-hmm. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be counted. I said in my heart, I have acquired great wisdom, surpassing all who were over Jerusalem before me. Yet my heart has had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I applied my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is but a striving after wind. For in much wisdom is much vexation. And he who increases knowledge increases sorrow.
Chapter 2. I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But behold, this also was vanity. By the way, the word that's translated over and over again, we see vanity, it's emptiness.
Yeah, the Hebrew term hebel can mean vapor or mere breath. Mm-hmm. Something that, yeah, obviously has no lasting value.
I said of laughter, it is mad and of pleasure. What use is it? I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of their life. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I had also great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the sons of man. This man had every material possession you can imagine.
Yep.
So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done, and the toil I had expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. So I turned to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do who comes after the king? Only what has already been done. That's underline those.
Mm-hmm.
For what can the man do who comes after the king? Now apply that to president.
Yeah.
Only what has already been done. Then I saw that there is more gain in wisdom than in folly, as there is more gain in light than in darkness. The wise person has his eyes in his head, but the fool walks in darkness.
Hmm.
The wise person has his eyes in his head.
Mm-hmm.
The fool must have him, I don't know, left him at home. It was dark. I didn't know how to put him in.
Yeah.
For the fool walks in darkness. And yet I perceived that the same event happens to all of them. So some can see, some cannot.
And yet all will ultimately die.
Then I said in my heart, what happens to the fool when will happen to me also? Why then have I been so very wise? And I said in my heart that this also is vanity. For of the wise as of the fool, there is no enduring remembrance, seeing that in the days to come, all will have been long forgotten. Remember, he said, all the people from before are gone.
Mm-hmm.
How the wise dies just like the fool.
That's right. 100% chance of death.
So I hated life, because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity and a striving after wind.
This could have been written by Gilgamesh.
Oh, yeah.
This is basically what drove Gilgamesh to try to seek immortality in the Epic of Gilgamesh.
Mm-hmm. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool. Yet.
We've read the Bible. Fool.
Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it.
Right.
How many kids have inherited wealth from a dad or mom who earned it from the ground up.
Yep.
Passed away. Kid never worked a day in his life. Lost it all.
Mm-hmm.
This also is vanity and a great evil. Oh, he's adding evil to it now. What has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow and his work is a vexation. Even in the night, his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment, eat, drink, and be merry, in his toil. This also I saw as from the hand of God. This also I saw is from the hand of God, for apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? Take that, Epicureans.
Huh.
For the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom, for to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a striving after wind.
Hmm. Ecclesiastes chapter 3.
Cue the birds.
The birds, yeah. Release the birds. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceived that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. I perceived that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before him. That which is already has been. That which is to be already has been. And God seeks what has been driven away.
That sounds like a line from Battlestar Galactica.
You know, I was thinking that very thing. Yeah, because that's one of the themes in that. That, you know, that which will be has already been.
Mm-hmm.
Or that which has been will be again. Something to that effect. Ecclesiastes 3:15 again. That which is already has been. That which is to be already has been. And God seeks what has been driven away. Moreover, I saw under the sun that in the place of justice, even there was wickedness, and in the place of righteousness, even there was wickedness. I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every matter and for every work. I said in my heart, with regard to the children of man, that God is testing them, that they may see that they themselves are but beasts. For what happens to the children of man and what happens to the beasts is the same. As one dies, so dies the other. They all have the same breath, and man has no advantage over the beasts, for all is vanity. And I want to look at Ecclesiastes 3:19. That word there translated breath, I think, is the same word that translates as spirit.
Probably.
Which would...
I think this is one of the verses that is used to support the idea that some animals go to heaven.
Yeah. Sorry, I've clicked on the wrong thing here and a wrong verse. The word translated as breath is, in fact, ruach,
mm-hmm.
which means spirit.
Yes, it is.
So those of us who've had dogs that we would love to see again or cats or whatever, Ecclesiastes 3:19 suggests that spirit is shared by humans and beasts. And now I have to hit the return key. Need to get back to Ecclesiastes 3. This is what we call vamping. Ecclesiastes 3:20.
As long as you're not vampiring.
No. Well, let me do 19 again. For what happens to the children of man and what happens to the beasts is the same. As one dies, so dies the other. They all have the same breath, the same ruach, and man has no advantage over the beasts, for all is vanity. All go to one place. All are from the dust, and to dust all return. That's his point there, not that mm-hmm. all go to heaven. Who knows whether the spirit of man goes upward and the spirit of the beast goes down into the earth? So I saw that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his work, for that is his lot. Who can bring him to see what will be after him?
Chapter 4. Again I saw all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold the tears of the oppressed, and they had no one to comfort them. On the side of their oppressors there was power, and there was no one to comfort them. And I thought the dead, who are already dead, more fortunate than the living who are still alive. But better than both is he who has not yet been, and has not seen the evil deeds that are done under the sun. Then I saw that all toil and all skill and work come from a man's envy of his neighbor.
Huh.
This also is vanity and a striving after wind. The fool folds his hands and eats his own flesh. Sounds like a cave cricket.
Mm, yeah.
And just so sweet and tasty. Better is a hand full of quietness than two hands full of toil and a striving after wind. Again, I saw vanity under the sun. One person who has no other. either son or brother, yet there is no end to all his toil, and his eyes are never satisfied with riches, so that he never asks, for whom am I toiling and depriving myself of pleasure? This also is vanity and an unhappy business. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Well, this is more than just working. Mm. This is also ministering.
Right.
Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Sam says, yeah. And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken.
But a fourfold cord is a barbershop quartet.
I don't know. Depends on whether. Okay. Better was a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who no longer knew how to take advice. For he went from prison to throne, though in his own kingdom he had been born poor. I saw all the living who move about under the sun, along with that youth who was to stand in the king's place. There was no end of all the people, all of whom he led. Yet those who come later will not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and a striving after wind.
Hmm. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes with much business, and a fool's voice with many words. When you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Let not your mouth lead you into sin, and do not say before the messenger that it was a mistake. Why, excuse me, why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands?
By the way, it says, and do not say before the angel.
I wondered if that
was what translated. The alternate, yes.
Yeah, Melech. Well, it gives a whole new context into the, because again, it's still talking about vowing a vow that, the Lord will
yes, and then
hold
we're
you
being
accountable
watched.
For. Right. Let not your mouth lead you into sin, and do not say before the angel that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? For when dreams increase and words grow many, there is vanity, but God is the one you must fear. If you see in a province the oppression of the poor and the violation of justice and righteousness, do not be amazed at the matter, for the high official is watched by a higher. And there are yet higher ones over them, angels, watchers. But this is gain for a land in every way, a king committed to cultivated fields.
You know, and this idea of being observed, being watched, and that somehow what happens here is almost like a life lesson, an eternal lesson. That gets back to our morning study, the New Testament study, where Paul was teaching that the things that take place within the body of Christ are being observed, and that they are a lesson and serve as evidence against those entities in the heavens.
Right. I'm still processing that.
There are lots and lots of places that we read this morning that were talking about these
eternal beings.
And there's an admonition that we need to try to work together because they are watching us.
Yeah, the rulers, thrones, dominions, rulers and authorities. Mm-hmm. And the rulers and authorities are, you know, words translated like archons and, that's the one that comes to mind at the moment. But there are other Greek terms. Archons is possibly better known because it was incorporated into Gnostic teachings.
Yeah.
So more familiar to us, but you're right. It's again the worldview that has been drained out of the church over the last 1600 years, since about the time of Augustine, where we don't view, we view the cosmic realm in almost a dualistic, type of, system where you've got God on the one hand, God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit on the one hand, you've got Satan on the other. And in between, you've got, yeah, some angels and stuff. But basically, those are the two ends of the spectrum. Instead of, as Paul points out, and as we read, if we're really paying attention in the Old Testament, these small g gods that even God refers to, Psalm 82 being the most famous episode, the famous passage that illustrates that point. There are other agents, entities exercising free will that aren't human.
Yes.
And we have to take those things into account. It's like when we read that passage where Paul wrote to the church at Corinth about the women covering their heads because of the angels.
Yes.
There are other entities that are interacting with us on a regular basis that are not Satan and not God. That's why John told us to test the spirits, because not all are from God. So you're exactly right. Yeah, that's a good point. We are being watched and observed, and sometimes these entities will interact with us.
And they're not aliens.
And that's right. They are not extraterrestrials, interdimensionals. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 9 again. But this is gain for a land in every way, a king committed to cultivated fields. Let's make Israel.
The meaning of the Hebrew verse is uncertain.
It basically means, let's make Israel great again. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. Yeah, that's for true. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. And what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes?
I just like looking at them all stored up there.
Yeah.
Let's build some more barns.
Mm-hmm. Rent another storage unit.
Mm-hmm.
When goods increase, they increase who eat. Okay. Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. There is a grievous evil that I have seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owner to his hurt, and those riches were lost in a bad venture. And he is father of a son, but he has nothing in his hand. As he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again, naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toil that he may carry away in his hand. You can't take it with you. This also is a grievous evil. Just as he came, so shall he go. And what gain is there to him who toils for the wind?
These are all earthly pleasures and earthly material possessions. You cannot take any of those.
And that's the recurring theme here through the first five chapters of Ecclesiastes. Yes. All of this chasing after material possessions, material pleasures, is chasing the wind.
And yet we're told over and over again, that's what you need to be doing. Hey, young man, you need to go into a field that's going to earn you lots and lots of money.
Right, right. And, you know, invest in your 401k so that you'll be taken care of in your retirement. You can go off and play golf. Yeah, this, too, is vanity.
Yeah.
This also is a grievous evil. Just as he came, so shall he go. And what gain is there to him who toils for the wind? On your deathbed, you're not going to say, gee, I wish I'd spent more time at the office.
Yeah.
Moreover, all his days he eats in darkness, in much vexation and sickness and anger. Sounds like he's describing Ebenezer Scrooge here.
Yes, doesn't it?
Behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given him, for this is his lot. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them, and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God. For he will not remember the days of his life, because God keeps him occupied with joys in his heart. He will not much remember the days of his life, because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart.
Chapter 6, there is an evil that I have seen under the sun, and it lies heavy on mankind. A man to whom God gives wealth, possessions, and honor, so that he lacks nothing of all that he desires, yet God does not give him power to enjoy them, but a stranger enjoys them. This is vanity. It is a grievous evil. If a man fathers 100 children, and he probably had close to that, Solomon, and lives many years, so that the days of his years are many, but his soul is not satisfied with life's good things, and he also has no burial, I say that a stillborn child is better off than he. For it comes in vanity and goes in darkness, and in darkness its name is covered. Moreover, it has not seen the sun or known anything, yet it finds rest, excuse me, rather than he. Even though he should live 1,000 years twice over, yet enjoy no good. Do not all go to the one place? All the toil of man is for his mouth, yet his appetite is not satisfied. For what advantage has the wise man over the fool? And what does the poor man have who knows how to conduct himself before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the appetite. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. Whatever has come to be has already been named, and it is known what man is, and that he is not able to dispute with one stronger than he.
Can't box with God. Arms aren't long enough, yeah.
The more words, the more vanity. And what is the advantage to man? For who knows what is good for man while he lives the few days of his vain life, which he passes like a shadow? For who can tell man what will be after him under the sun?
Ecclesiastes 7. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. The house of feasting. For this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness the face of the heart, for by sadness of face the heart is made glad. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth.
Well, you know, it makes me wonder if this idea of mourning and sorrow at this point is recognizing your own sinful nature.
It could well be, and recognizing that we are all mortal. We're all going to suffer the same fate. And when he writes that the heart of fools is in the house of mirth, well, yeah, there is foolishness in making and taking everything lightly and not really appreciating what God has given us. Those who seek laughter at the expense of wisdom, yeah, I mean, that is something that we read in the Proverbs repeatedly. That was a consistent theme, that wisdom was to be sought and prized because foolishness is leads to death. And this idea that that life is a party is clearly a foolish endeavor. Verse 5, it is better for, well again, this sounds like it came right out of the right out of Proverbs. It is better for a man to hear the rebuke of the wise than to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fools. This also is vanity. Surely oppression drives the wise into madness, and a bribe corrupts the heart. Better is the end of a thing than its beginning, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the heart of fools. Say not, why were the former days better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask this. Yeah, the good old days weren't really as good as we usually think they are. Yeah. We tend to forget the bad. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, an advantage to those who see the sun. For the protection of wisdom is like the protection of money. And the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves the life of him who has it. Consider the work of God. Who can make straight what he has made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. And in the day of adversity, consider, God has made the one as well as the other, so that man may not find out anything that will be after him. In my vain life, I have seen everything. There is a righteous man who perishes in his righteousness. There is a wicked man who prolongs his life in his evil doing. Good things happen to bad people in this life. That's just the way it is. Be not overly righteous and do not make yourself too wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Now, that's kind of an odd statement. Oh, okay. I gather that what he's saying is just because you are righteous and pursuing wisdom, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have a long and happy life.
Right.
Yeah. So don't think that it's a guarantee. There's not a quid pro quo there. Be not overly wicked, neither be a fool. Why should you die before your time? It is good that you should take hold of this, and from that withhold not your hand, for the one who fears God shall come out from both of them. Wisdom gives strength to the wise man more than 10 rulers who are in a city. Surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. All
have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Do not take to heart all the things that people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. Yeah, don't be too upset. Sometimes people say things they don't really mean and have it.
Yeah.
Be concerned with whether you're pleasing to God. Your heart knows that many times you yourself have cursed others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't want them knowing what's in your head all the time. All this I have tested by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which has been far off and deep, very deep, who can find it out? I turned my heart to know and to search out and to seek wisdom and the scheme of things and to know the wickedness of folly and the foolishness that is madness. And I find something more bitter than death, the woman whose heart is snares and nets and whose hands are fetters. He who pleases God escapes her, but the sinner is taken by her. Behold, this is what I found, says the preacher, while adding one thing to another to find the scheme of things, which my soul has sought repeatedly, but I have not found. One man among a thousand I found, but a woman among all these I have not found. And if anyone looked, it was Solomon.
He did.
See, this alone I found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes.
Chapter 8. Who is like the wise, and who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the hardness of his face is changed. That's interesting, because that's so true. You know, we've said many times that you can meet someone and initially think, okay, that person really looks like, you know, they've seen a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you start to talk to that person and that real person comes through, you start to see, it's like the face changes.
Mm-hmm.
The person takes on a whole new look. I say, keep the king's command because of God's oath to him. Underline that. Keep the king's command because of God's oath to him.
And that applies whether you voted for him or not.
Yeah. Be not hasty to go from his presence. Do not take your stand in an evil cause, for he does whatever he pleases. For the word of the king is supreme. And who may say to him, what are you doing? Of course, here in this so-called democracy, we love being able to say, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Whoever keeps a command will know no evil thing, and the wise heart will know the proper time and the just way. For there is a time and a way for everything, although man's trouble lies heavy on him. For he does not know what is to be, for who can tell him how it will be? You can't tell the future.
Mm-hmm.
No man has power to retain the spirit or power over the day of death. There is no discharge from war. Nor will wickedness deliver those who are given to it. That's an interesting way to put it, to have this line about you can't stop death. It's coming for you regardless. There is no discharge from war. Reminder, we're on a battlefield. Don't know if that's what he means, but that's sure what hit me. All this I observed while applying my heart to all that is done under the sun when man had power over man to his hurt. He had seen war.
Mm-hmm.
Then I saw the wicked buried. They used to go in and out of the holy place and were praised in the city where they had done such things. This also is vanity. Because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily, the heart of the children of man is fully set to do evil.
Ah, because we don't see the penalty in this time-space continuum. They think they're getting away with it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Though a sinner does evil 100 times and prolongs his life, yet I know that it will all be well with those who fear God because they fear before him. But it will not be well with the wicked, neither will he prolong his days like a shadow, because he does not fear before God. There is a vanity that takes place on earth, that there are righteous people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the wicked, and there are wicked people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the righteous.
Right.
I said that this also is vanity. And I commend joy, for man has nothing better under the sun but to eat and drink and be joyful. For this will go with him in his toil through the days of his life that God has given him under the sun. Joy can go with you.
Mm-hmm.
When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done on earth, how neither day nor night do one's eyes see sleep, then I saw all the work of God, that man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun.
Hmm.
All of your trying to find out was vanity. However much man may toil in seeking, he will not find it out. Even though a wise man claims to know, he cannot find it out.
Hmm. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. But all this I laid to heart, examining it all, how the righteous and the wise and their deeds are in the hand of God. Whether it is love or hate, man does not know. Both are before him. It is the same for all, since the same event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good and the evil, to the clean and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As the good one is, so is the sinner, and he who swears is as he who shuns an oath. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that the same event happens to all. Also the hearts of the children of man are full of evil, and madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. And by the way, this evil, that all that's done under the sun, the same event happens to all, that is a product of the sin that entered the world.
We all die.
Yeah, with and the fact that the children of men decided they wanted other rulers than Yahweh, which was the cause of the building of the Tower of Babel and mm-hmm. the division of the nations and the allocation of the nations to the 70 B'nai Elohim, sons of God. We are behind, for this reason, we are behind enemy lines. And so things appear to be evil, but there is a day when Jesus returns and God puts it all right.
Yep.
Yeah. Verse 4, but he who is joined with all the living has hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion.
Sam, is that true?
That's his verse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Their love and their hate and their envy have already perished, and forever they have no more share in all that is done under the sun. Go, eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. Let your garments be always white. Let not oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life that he has given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. Again, I saw that under the sun, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge. But time and chance happen to them all. For man does not know his time. Like fish that are taken in an evil net, and like birds that are caught in a snare, so the children of man are snared at an evil time when it suddenly falls upon them.
Mm-hmm.
I have also seen this example of wisdom under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it and besieged it, building great siege works against it. But there was found in it a poor wise man, and he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. Yet no one remembered that poor man. But I say that wisdom is better than might, though the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of the wise, heard in quiet, are better than the shouting of a ruler among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good.
Hmm. Chapter 10. I love this first one. Dead flies make the perfumer's ointment give off a stench.
Twoo.
You can work really hard on that ointment.
Yeah.
Gather up all the things, have your recipe perfect, and all it takes is a couple of flies.
Get in there, die, and yeah.
So a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart inclines him to the right, but a fool's heart to the left.
Oh, the left-hand path, mm-hmm. yeah.
Even when the fool walks on the road, he lacks sense, and he says to everyone that he is a fool. If the anger of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your place, for calmness will lay great offenses to rest. A gentle answer turneth away wrath.
Yeah.
There is an evil that I have seen under the sun, as it were an error proceeding from the ruler. Folly is set in many high places, and the rich sit in the low place. I have seen slaves on horses and princes walking on the ground like slaves. He who digs a pit will fall into it, and a serpent will bite him who breaks through a wall. He who quarries stones is hurt by them, and he who splits logs is endangered by them. If the iron is blunt and one who does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength. But wisdom helps one to succeed. If the serpent bites before it is charmed, there is no advantage to the charmer. The words of a wise man's mouth, I love that one, I may have to memorize that. The words of a wise man's mouth win him favor, but the lips of a fool consume him. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is evil madness. A fool multiplies words, though no man knows what is to be, and who can tell him what will be after him? The toil of a fool wearies him, for he does not know the way to the city. Woe to you, O land, when your king is a child, and your princes feast in the morning. We're too busy feasting to do anything else. Happy are you, O land, when your king is the son of the nobility, and your princes feast at the proper time for strength and not for drunkenness.
Yeah.
Through sloth, the roof sinks in, and through indolence, the house leaks. Bread is made for laughter, and wine gladdens life, and money answers everything. Even in your thoughts, do not curse the king, nor in your bedroom curse the rich, for a bird of the air will carry your voice, or some winged creature tell the matter.
I wonder if there is more to those verses there.
Yeah. I'm thinking there is. Again, being watched.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look that up later, but it's possible that there's a more implied there than the English translation lets on. That's one of the interesting things I've been finding in reading over the last few months, that there are things that are translated in the Bible as, say, the words pestilence or destruction or hail, which are actually the name. We stumbled on one of those, fortune and destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Which are actually capitalized because they were the names of deities.
Yes.
So we stumble on, if you're looking for that in the Old Testament, you'll see that again. It's the divine counsel concept.
Lots of places.
Yeah. Ecclesiastes 11. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to seven or even to eight, for you know not what disaster may happen on earth. And then you'll need friends.
Mm-hmm.
If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the way the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything.
Well, that's the spirit of this age.
Yeah. But the way the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with child, you don't know at the moment life begins.
So assume it's at conception. That's just the easiest way to do
it. Right. In the morning, and scientists who are honest will admit that they don't know. You cannot know
They cannot quantify it. They can't measure it.
The only place where you can definitely say is, when those cells begin to divide.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because we don't know how or when the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with child. Yeah. In the morning, sow your seed, and at evening, withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, and whether both alike will be good. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all, but let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity.
And finally, chapter 12. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few and those who look through the windows are dimmed. I'm thinking that there's some prophetic stuff in here. And the doors on the street are shut when the sound of the grinding is low and one rises up at the sound of a bird. And all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags himself along, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go out about the streets before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. Besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed on the collected are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. Capital S.
Yeah.
My son, beware of anything beyond these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
Amen.
For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Summed it up in the last two verses.
That's it. Chasing after the things of this world, this earth, is vanity, because bad things happen to good people, and sometimes bad people are appear to be blessed.
Yeah, and if you get so bogged down in those minutiae, bad things are happening to good people, good things are happening to bad people, I don't like the way this is going, that guy's got too much money, why does she have more than I do? Stop worrying about those things. Mm-hmm. Just fear God and serve him. Follow the two commandments that our shepherd, capital S, gave us. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Right. Take pleasure in the toil of your hands that God has put before you, and trust that when the day comes, as it will come for us all, that God will sort it out, will make things right. As Paul quoted from the Psalms, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Yeah. Well, this being the first Sunday of the month, we remember the night in the upper room where Jesus basically laid it out for the disciples. They didn't quite understand. They really didn't grasp it until the day of Pentecost, you know, Acts chapter 2. But Paul, writing some years after the fact, 20 years after the resurrection, to the church at Corinth, explained it. This is from 1 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen.
Amen indeed. Well, we will try to produce studies for next Sunday if by chance, if it turns out that we have too much to do between now and Wednesday when we leave. We apologize in advance for that, but we'll let you know. We'll post it to gilberthouse.org and we'll try to share it on Facebook exactly what the plans are for next weekend.
Yeah.
We will be in Indiana, so we'll have to, if we post fellowships, it's because we record them before we leave.
Yeah, and we should, hopefully we'll be able to do that.
We'll see. I still got some stuff to do. I've got lots to do actually before we leave, but we'll see how much time. We're going to try. We're praying the Lord will work it out because I'd hate to miss another weekend.
Yeah, yeah. And then again, because later in this month, the 25th, Sundays are the 25th and then January 1st fall on Sundays.
Two weekends in a row, they're holidays. So right. We are blessed in that our boss at Skywatch TV actually prefers that we take the whole month of December off. He's really crazy, but we all know that. But that while we cannot do that, he definitely wants us to take that week off. And, and so we may try to actually relax. And I've got a writing project that's a nonfiction writing project that's due in early January. So I probably will be writing that week.
Yeah. And I will probably be working on editing and cleaning up the manuscript for The Great Inception.
Vacuuming.
Yeah. I'll be going through the manuscript, kind of vacuuming out the extraneous words during those couple of weeks. But it's getting close. I'd say it's probably 80% done right now. At least in terms of the first draft. Mm-hmm. But then we'll have to go back and, you know, put that back in. And then I'll have to go back in and pull together the bibliography, which is going to be rather lengthy. Lots and lots of academic papers cited.
But I love that. Some of my favorite stuff is to look through the bibliography and then go and find them myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
Well, I have found a really enjoyable pastime hobby going to sites like academia.edu, and there are a couple of others out there like that, and finding these academic papers and reading them, because there is a lot of information out there on the world of the patriarchs, the world of ancient Israel, and the world that preceded ancient Israel, the world of Sumer and the old Babylonian Empire. So we're talking the time of Abraham coinciding with the old Babylonian Empire and what they believed and what they taught. Now, those ideas were shared throughout the ancient world. And again, it really helps make more sense of some of the things in the Bible, especially the Old Testament stuff. So I'm looking forward to getting this finished and getting this out there and then taking all the, you know, criticism for, no, because I feel pretty confident, and not that I'm that smart, but just that these things fit together. I'm not trying to go beyond where the evidence leads.
But I think the Lord is helping you to make some connections that perhaps have been missed.
Well, either that or I've just gone off the deep end. Because It's kind of funny.
You've gone crazy.
I was reading some stuff on Ezekiel 27 and 28, which has some interesting connections, I think, to what God told Abraham during the covenant, that his descendants would return from Egypt when the sin of the Amorites was complete. And so I was watching some old video of teachings on the book of Ezekiel from very respected Bible teachers. I'm not going to name names, but men that I really respect. And like, they didn't say any of this stuff in there. Well, I guess that's either really good or I'm really, really way off target. So we shall see.
Really,
one bullet left. We'll see what 2017 is going to be, an interesting year in many respects.
It is.
Well, we thank you, Lord, for bringing us together over your word and for the words of wisdom that have been preserved for us for 3,000 years. Lord, help us to take them to heart and to live according to your word and your will. We know that we won't grasp your will perfectly, Father. And as such, we pray that we are gracious to those who may have differences of opinion on non-essential beliefs. And help us, Lord, to speak truth with love in cases where opportunities present to those who have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Help us to wield your word as an invitation and not as a club, not as a weapon. Father, we pray for those who are suffering with grief, with financial troubles and difficulties, with physical maladies. And Father, we pray for your guidance and protection for those who are taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, making disciples of all nations. Lord, we pray for safe travel for all those who will be gathering this week to remember Sharon's sister. And Lord, we just ask for your spirit to be there to lift us up and make it a joyful gathering as we celebrate the newest graduate who has gone on before. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like it, putting it that way.
Till next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us. We post a new Bible study each Sunday morning. Join the discussion at the Gilbert House Fellowship page on Facebook. Subscribe to our podcast feed and explore the archives online at gilberthouse.org.
Troubles sometimes are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we have.